Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. It's Friday night with Enter the Light. It's August 24th, 2018. This is Shannon Johnson. I'm here with Jan Drake Bakke, and our special guest host this evening is Patrick DeHaan. Our topic as well tonight is Rolling with Aliens. But before we get into our discussion, let me give you a little bit about each of our hosts this evening, beginning with our guest host, Patrick. He was a baby boomer born in Queens, up from the New York and suburban New Jersey area. He's been working with spirit for many, many years. He was one of the first mediums to channel Eric Rune Medhus, who many of us know, back in the 2012-2013 beginning of the blog. You might want to check him out there. He currently resides in Texas, and he has a blog site as well as a book, and his book is The Alien Handbook that was released in March 2018, so definitely check that out. And then we have our host, Jan Drake Bakke. She is a psychic medium intuitive, also writes channeled poetry. She works on criminal cases as well as private readings to help guide you along your path. Jan is very skilled in animal totems, and her poetry is available for songs, events, and all those other additional things if you're needing some beautiful pieces to add to an event or special time in your life. And I'm Shannon Johnson. I'm a metaphysical facilitator and medium with 20 years of experience in the field. My team and I help give guidance to help you have a joyful and happy life without interfering in soul contracts and free will. So welcome, everybody, to the show. How are you guys doing tonight?
Just great, Shannon. Thank you for that awesome intro. Oh, my goodness. So beautiful what you say about us. Thank you.
Yes, welcome, I almost feel qualified.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, we have quite a lineup listening to us tonight. And this is a really interesting topic. I'm really excited about having Patrick on the show tonight because this is an area we have yet to dive into. And he's got a lot of experience to share with us. So, Patrick, would you like to lead off into our discussion about hanging out with the aliens? What can we learn? How can we work with them?
Happily, since I wrote a book about the subject, and in fact, I'm personally honored that you picked the title Rolling with Aliens for this show. It's a personal compliment. Anyway, about aliens. Well, we are aliens. In other words, human beings were created by alien extraterrestrial visitors to Earth about 100,000 years ago. The biblical story about the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve is a depiction of what really occurred, although what occurred was a lot more scientific and biological. But essentially, the story about a piece of Adam's rib being used to make Eve, well, that refers to chromosome manipulation, actually DNA manipulation, gene splicing, and all the other things that occurred to create the first beings on Earth. That initial period of Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal, those are the names that we use today for the remains of the first humans before Homo sapiens, that lasted about 3 decades, give or take. We Homo sapiens were created at that point, in other words, about 3 decades later, give or take. And that's when the species Homo sapiens, what we are, came into existence. The upgrade involved small but very key additions to DNA, from, hold on a minute. That's my alarm. It's off. Small additions to the DNA, but key additions to create what we now are. So we've been on Earth about 100,000 years. At that point, a prime directive was put into place. The prime directive says, just like it does on Star Trek and other movies and TV shows, no interference by alien extraterrestrial visitors into life on Earth. However, no interference does not equal zero contact. What it means is aliens are not allowed to do things that would disturb the course of human events beyond what our own choices or natural events create. That's been going on ever since. But make no mistake, we are the descendants of aliens that helped to create us. We are not an evolved species from other forms of life on Earth. We are not a natural life form to Earth. So I wrote a book about it. And the book contains a lot of channeled information from my guardian angel guides and also two alien extraterrestrials who, as many people might be familiar, communicate telepathically, just like guardian angels and guides and souls in heaven and so forth. And the book is very interesting, I think. And we got a lot of really interesting information. Okay, that's my intro.
Wow.
Lock and load.
I love it. I love it, Patrick, because it really brings in a new, fresh perspective, because our society likes to teach fear in this area. I mean, we have a hard enough time fearing each other, and we're all the human race. You know? And then when you people are like, they're so curious, but oh no, what if they showed up? You know, everybody wants to think that fear thing. And one of the things that I really love about working with some of the alien spirits myself is them keeping reminding me that you guys are the same as us. You're just in a different meat suit, okay? Don't get caught up in what it looks like. We have souls, you have souls. We do different work than you do. You're on a different planet. So are we. It's just kind of like a different neighborhood, just farther away. But there's a lot of wisdom to be gained through connecting with those who are wanting to work with us.
We've always been connected to them. That's why I find it very, very entertaining to listen and read about all of the, you said it, the fear-based thinking that involves alien extraterrestrials. And it starts off with, there are no aliens. Yes, there are. Just go into the bathroom and look in the mirror. Oh, that can't be true. How do you know that? How do you know that? Give me proof. Okay, what kind of proof do you want? And the conversation dies right there. It literally crashes into a Bridget button because nobody ever says, okay, the proof that I want is, and then they set it out point by point. No one ever says that. We've all been taught to just discount and deny without saying why we won't believe it. Okay, let's put that aside. Then the next thing, this is the really entertaining part, the whole concept of alien abduction, alien invasion. They're evil. They're going to come get us. They are us. Aliens have been visiting Earth, alien extraterrestrials from other planets revolving around other stars and other star systems far away, have been coming to and visiting Earth for millions and millions and millions and millions and tens of millions of years. If they were going to do something to harm Earth and us, they would have done it already. What are we going to do? Can we defend ourselves? They have the technology to cross huge swaths of the galaxy, depending on which civilization it is, in 2 or 3 hours.
what technology are we fooling ourselves that we have that can stop them if they wanted to harm us? And here's the example I've used several times, and it rankles people, and that's the reason I use it. What if three or four adults, for example, the three of us on this show right now, decided to go into the maternity ward of a hospital with, and there are 50 different things we could do, and slaughter and kill all the newborn babies? It's just, it's such a horrible thought. Is it possible?
Right.
Of course. It's so ridiculous. No one would ever do that. Well, maybe some people would do it, but it's so far outside. When people say aliens are going to come, quote unquote, get us, they're going to invade, they're going to harm humanity. Yes, just like the three of us are going to go get machine guns and go into the maternity ward of a hospital. It's not going to happen. Alien extraterrestrials love us. They admire us. They examine us. They study us. They're not going to hurt us. Now, they will protect themselves, and they have, in isolated, separate incidents. And then it's been explained to the powers that be, after those incidents, that that's not necessary. They don't have to do that. They have the ability to disable, explain this in my book, they have the ability to disable human weapon systems without hurting us, to just deactivate them so they won't work.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can't do anything to them, they can't do anything to us. But they don't want harm, they don't want us to hurt them, and they don't want to hurt us at all. Completely to the contrary. Does a scientist or an anthropologist studying animal behavior want to kill all the animals they're studying? It's ridiculous. But you are correct. You said it. We teach this fear about all sorts of things, and aliens fit like a hand in a glove into that fear-based thinking.
Yeah. And I mean, they've contributed so much to the earlier civilizations of this world. And we see a lot of their work as, you know, the most amazing pieces. And I mean, we're still studying these today in depth. And I just find it amazing. I look forward to the day that we can have that relationship again in the physical here on the earth plane. I love working with them energetically.
We can start having that relationship tomorrow. It's up to us. This is part of the challenge we have to overcome. I've been asked to address the Ozark Mountain UFO Conference in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, next year in April, and to make a presentation on the subject of disclosure. And I'm going to get into depth with that. But essentially, the relationship with alien extraterrestrials that you're talking about, we can begin to have that tomorrow. It's up to us. It's not up to the aliens. When we decide we want to have the relationship, we will begin to have it. It's up to us. We collectively, some of us individually would like it, but human beings collectively don't want that relationship. Human beings collectively much prefer to run around and spread fear and hate and anger in general on certain subjects, whatever it is. And the whole subject of alien extraterrestrials is right up there with the zombie apocalypse in the minds of many people, if they're even aware of it. When I say zombies, what I mean specifically is people that have died because they got bitten by a zombie, and then they've suddenly, the body has come alive again, but their soul is gone, and now they're monsters, and all they want to do is shuffle along with their guts hanging out of their mouth to attack another human and infect that person, and then the whole population is going to turn into zombies, like a video game. Well, for many people, the whole subject of aliens is the same.
Yeah. Very true. Very true.
All the aliens are
watching. Now, in your studies and everything, in your channeling, have they talked about the awakening process that's going on with humans currently? In is this something that they're also very excited about, the more of us getting to be aware of our energetic bodies, our consciousness, the universe, our soul energies?
Yes.
Are they excited and ready for more of us to wake up to this so that they can have more interaction, even if it's through a spiritual context?
Well, yes and no. Yes, they're very excited. They always have been. They are doing as much as they believe they prudently can to make us aware of their presence. But the prime directive is a bit of an obstacle to pushing the issue. But the prime
right.
directive around Earth is not a prime directive that someone else decided and is imposed upon us. The prime directive is something that we as humans all created. And we did it as our souls before we came to Earth. This is where human existence dovetails very, very nicely with, for example, Christianity or Catholicism. The religious belief is that we are spiritual beings and that we're born into a body on Earth and that we die, we return to heaven. And anybody that's been a Catholic or been around a Catholic or seen any Catholic teachings, reason I picked Catholicism, that's what I'm familiar with. I'm not very religious.
Mm-hmm.
I know bits and pieces, dangerous bits and pieces about other faiths, but they know that that's a cornerstone. That's almost the bedrock of being a Catholic. Well, that's accurate. That's true. But that's not because the Catholics accidentally stumbled upon it and they have this broad knowledge that other people don't have. No. Quite the contrary. That's just an acknowledgement of reality. So at the soul level, before any of us decide to incarnate and live as a human in the body, we are aware of, are supportive of, and agree to be bound by the prime directive. All of the alien extraterrestrials that come visit us, they all have guardian angels also. They also have souls. They're generally more in touch. When I say they, let me explain that very briefly. I use the term the one percenters. There are an almost infinite number of life forms, plant and animal, on other planets in our galaxy. In fact, many more than exist on Earth just in our star clusters within 300 or 400 light years of Earth. When I refer to alien extraterrestrials, I mean the one percenters, the ones that have achieved technological capability that allows them to travel between planets and to visit Earth, for example. They are very advanced, but they're very advanced spiritually. Technological advancement, scientific knowledge, and spirituality are all the same thing. So they possess all of these things. They understand all of this very well. We, as our souls, before we decide to incarnate, understand the whole issue of the prime directive and the reason for it, and why there shouldn't be interference. So alien extraterrestrials are very aware of it. We're aware at the soul level, but we're not aware generally as alive unless we want to be. It's up to us. So we can become very aware and we can have a relationship if we want it, but we have to be realistic about what's going to occur. Many people that are very tuned into the idea of aliens are fixated almost on the idea that aliens are going to come to Earth and solve human problems, which they will never do. In other
right.
words, we could have a mass disclosure next week with several civilizations, each landing 10 ships, and they all go straight to the headquarters of the BBC and Al Jazeera and CBS and you name it. And they give interviews and they send out their press agents and we have this big disclosure. Everybody knows everything. They're not going to come to Earth and give us cures for diseases. They're not going to give us technology to show us how to generate electricity. They're not going to give us weapons. They're not going to disable weapons we already have. They're not going to confiscate weapons. They're not going to eliminate murder. They're not going to cure cancer. They're not going to give us magical plants. They're not going to teach us how to get dates. They're not going to tell us how to print money. They're not going to interfere. in our way of life and our way of thinking, the most they are ever going to do is explain who they are, where they come from, what they think of us, and give suggestions. That's all they're going to do. They're not going to interfere. It's up to us. If we ask the question and we want help, they'll be happy to provide it, but they're not going to do it for us. Just like our guardian angels and guides don't interfere in every decision we make. We have free will. The alien extraterrestrials know all this. They have free will. They know that if they break the prime directive, they are sending a message to every other alien extraterrestrial civilization. Not all of them are wonderful and benevolent. Most are, but not every single one. They're sending a message around the galaxy and the universe that they are hypocrites. They don't want that. They want their sovereignty. They want their civilization to be treated well, and the rules to be followed. And they have them just like we do, even more strictly obeyed. So they have to be consistent. Because all of us, all the humans, all agreed to the prime directive. We all agreed to this condition, so we have it. So, back to the beginning, disclosure and the revelation of alien extraterrestrial presence and interaction with humans is entirely and completely up to us. It's our collective decision to make.
Wow, that is so interesting, Patrick. The thing that I want to ask you and is... this is Jan speaking. What about what we hear about all the abductions and people getting scanned or, you know, people getting checked out by aliens and stuff like that? You know what I mean?
Yes.
We hear.
Most humans that go through that experience agree to it. They
agree
plan
to
it. They agree to meet up with alien extraterrestrial visitors before they are born on Earth. As part of their life plan, they agree to it. And they also understand and agree to a very, very limited memory or a delayed memory or awareness of the event so that it will not otherwise disturb their normal life. There are no alien extraterrestrials, marauders coming down, invading Earth, snatching humans, and doing nasty, unspeakable things to us against our will. We have nothing to offer alien extraterrestrials that they don't already have. What they are doing when they meet with and examine a human is study. We're fascinated as humans with studying ocean life. But we don't need anything from the ocean life. That doesn't mean we don't want to study it and see it and observe it. We think that's fantastic. But we don't want anything from them. We don't want to hurt them. We don't want to invent a submarine and go down to the depths and study all these sea creatures. Well, ever since scientific study has been possible in the latest civilizations on Earth, the history of which we have about 6,000 years, we've constantly, continuously been fascinated with the ability to study all types of life. Most of it, we don't want anything from it. We don't want to take them over or control them, do anything to them. And quite the opposite, we're extremely careful and respectful, the scientists are, of the sanctity of the life and everything that those animals and those creatures have. That's the attitude aliens have with us. They are not flying around the atmosphere, snatching people out of their beds at night, doing horrible things to them against their will. That absolutely is not occurring. The talk about all of that occurring comes from some people having a reaction to the sudden memory or realization that this has occurred without remembering that they agreed to it at some point on purpose specifically, they intentionally designed into their human consciousness that they would not be aware of it. And they designed in that they would likely be surprised. Just as we design in many, many life experiences completely unrelated to aliens, we are shocked or surprised or saddened or horrified by. Now, there's millions of examples in life. This is just one of the same. This notion that there are aliens abducting and doing things to humans is dis and misinformation. And seeds of it are planted intentionally to create fear, confusion, and to diffuse human understanding of the issue. This is done by the powers that be, and there are a number of names and labels that can be given to them. Many of these quote-unquote powers that be are aware of, and some of them actually have met with alien extraterrestrial representatives. And
wow,
they are scared poopless at the idea alien extraterrestrials could establish relationships with populations in general underneath, around, or above the central authorities of which some of these people are a part. So they engage in a very insidious and a very professional campaign of spreading mis and disinformation through the population to create the idea that aliens are malevolent when they themselves know better than anyone else. That is simply not true. But by spreading it and creating confusion, they keep themselves in a position of control. And that's what the whole issue of abduction of humans by aliens is really about. For anybody that wants to know, in the interest of full disclosure, everything that I just said has been channeled to me by my guardian angels. That's the source of my information.
I think that is just wonderful. I think that is just wonderful, and I'm so glad that we are all here at this moment for you to share all this so that fear will not be spread about aliens, and that's what part of this show is all about. So I think that is fantastic. I love hearing what you say here. It's great.
Yeah.
Yes, to anybody listening, if you ever hear this discussion of alien abduction, it is entirely possible that some people that have gone through the experience believe that was what happened to them. And I wouldn't disagree with them because, as I said, their realization or the memory of the event or bits and pieces of it coming back to them at some point can seem like that. But every single person that's ever said they had an experience like that comes away with it intact. None of them are missing patches of skin, bodily organs. Their life hasn't been disturbed. Gee, why is that? So they might have that experience, but in general, the topic, the subject, the theme, the idea that there are malevolent aliens out to cure humans is a crock of bull. It's simply not true.
I love it.
Awesome.
I love it. Very good. Very good.
Okay, next subject. What's your entire pressure on your thyroid? Do you change your oil?
But, you know, I mean,
it's
such a fascinating topic, and there's so much more information coming to the surface from people like you, the average Joe, people that are awakening and beginning to have their connections. I have one friend. She's in her 60s now, and she always kind of knew that she would go on these astral type of visits. And once she had her awakening process, she said it was one of the best things that ever happened to her because she actually started remembering bits and pieces. And she said she had told me one time, she said, "Shannon, you know, so many people talk about they're so scared of it." She said, "For me, when I, like, saw them, I was, like, seeing some of my oldest friends that I hadn't seen in years. And I was so happy." She was
because
like,
she was.
"They were all my friends." And I was like, "Oh, mm-hmm. my gosh, I hadn't seen you in so long. It's good to see you." And, you know, she would get bits and pieces, she said, but the feeling was awesome. She said, "There was nothing but welcomes and highs and love and, well, let's take care of the business we got to do, and then you're going back. But she said, you know, once she was able to be open, her fear that she had had in the earlier part of her life, not understanding what was going on, all left. And she actually looks forward to those visits now. And she's like, you know, sometimes it'll go a long time
really
in between. And I'm like, come visit me, guys. I want to see you.
That's really great to hear, because I've met a few people I never had before. Earlier this year at the UFO conference of Ozark Mountain Publishing in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, I met a few people that years ago have had encounters with alien extraterrestrials. And I admire them because they signed up and they volunteered for the experience, knowing that when they spoke about it, the reaction and the pressure that would come to them from other humans would be significant and largely negative. And they did it anyway. And here they are on Earth. And those are people I really admire. I really admire them. Now, with the story you just told, that's really, really happy to hear that there was a fear and then she overcame it and then she looks forward to it.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It changed everything for her.
That's neat.
Now, having said that, meeting with aliens, I should at this point explain to anybody that's new to the subject. Many alien extraterrestrials can't come physically too close to humans or vice versa. And that's not because there's any problem or anything dangerous about it. It is because many alien extraterrestrials are more multidimensional than we are. Not all of them, but many. It depends on the civilization.
Yeah.
And everybody has a certain vibrational range, just like every physical object has a resonant frequency. And we learn that in school when we're studying science. All physical objects will vibrate at a resonant frequency. So if you pick up a rock and you hit it, it will react and it will temporarily vibrate. The most common example would be a crystal. You put electricity into a crystal and it will vibrate at its resonant frequency. That's how quartz wristwatches work. A tuning fork. You tap a tuning fork and the resonant frequency makes a certain sound. So everything has a certain resonant frequency. Well, all of us who are alive have a certain resonance or a vibration range. And many of us, if we think about it, we don't often hear it in the background, but if we sit in a very quiet room and think about it, we can hear a very low-level hum or hiss in the background when there's absolutely no quiet around. Well, that hissing that we hear is our own natural soul's vibration. Everyone has that, but we don't normally hear it unless we think about it and go into a completely quiet place and then listen, and you can hear it in the background, very high pitch. It doesn't affect your hearing. That's because you're hearing your soul.
Mm-hmm.
We all have it. Everybody has that. All animals have it. So do the aliens. The problem is the vibrational ranges don't match up. And the closer and or the more of one or the other that come within a certain distance, and it depends on which aliens, there can be a clash between these vibrations, and it can make one side or the other side feel uncomfortable or even ill. This doesn't mean that there's anything dangerous or poisonous or bad, either about humans or the aliens. It just means that some of them, especially ones whose body types are not similar to ours, can't come close to us. They can't adjust enough. Or one can come but has to keep a certain distance, 50 feet, 100 feet, what have you. Or if one human and there are three aliens, and they get too close, that human can suddenly feel very, very sick. They have to back up and keep a certain distance. But that's not all. We on Earth are generally supervised by three alien extraterrestrial civilizations from the Pleiades cluster, the Arcturans, and the Sirians. Sirians from star Sirius, Arcturans from planets that revolve around the star Arcturus, and Pleiadians from the Pleiades cluster, the seven sisters. We also get pretty frequent visits from the Canopians, from planets that revolve around the star Canopus. If anybody has studied astronomy knows, these are all very bright, prominent stars in the sky. There are many, many planets revolving around all of these stars. The Pleiadians are most like us. They have a carbon-based body chemistry, and many of the planets in the seven sisters of the cluster of the Pleiades stars have carbon-based biochemistry, just like we did. Some of the others, particularly the Sirians and the Arcturans, have either a silicon-based or a combination of silicon animal and carbon-based plant life. They, because of that inherent difference in biochemistry, they have a different vibrational range than, say, the Pleiadians. Now, the Pleiadians have a different one from us, but they can adapt a little bit. Pleiadians resemble us very, very much. So much so that many Pleiadians could come to Earth, and if they learn the mannerisms of the human and wear human clothes, they can even pass themselves off as one of us, and we might not know it one-on-one. Others, for example, the Sirians and the Arcturans, it would be unmistakable that they were alien extraterrestrials if we could get close enough to them. But in large numbers, it would be a little bit of a challenge. Now, they know this. So when they have come to meet with human representatives of our governments, for example, and certain agencies, they have certain outerwear and suits and garments that they put on that have an electrical grid. We don't understand the technology of it yet, or we do. They've told us a little bit. We just don't produce it. That compensates for the difference. So that allows them to come closer to us temporarily, and it also protects them. This is just simply, think of it as a soul translation device. That's all it is. So when people say, "Oh, we want to see the aliens," they think a flying saucer is going to land on these. You know, these legs are going to descend, and it's going to sit on the ground, and then a hatch is going to open. The ladder is going to come out. These little green men are going to come down, and they walk right up. Yeah. They take me to your leader. Well, they probably can't, and we wouldn't want them to. This would have
right.
to be done in a different way, so that there wouldn't be any physical discomfort. But once we got used to the, once certain devices were used to overcome the physical discomfort, and once some humans became accustomed to the appearance, then it would be very easy to meet with them. They know that we humans generally tend not to communicate telepathically. So they have voice box translation devices so that they can create the sound of speech and speak to us in whatever language they want to use, in whatever human language they want to use to communicate to humans. They don't need to hear our spoken words. They can read our thoughts telepathically. This has been a constant source of, or an obstacle, with ongoing relations with many of our government leaders who struggle with the idea that their thoughts are being read by the aliens they're meeting with. In other words, if the three of us get together and start thinking, "Oh, look at that alien over there, he's really ugly," they know you're thinking that about them. Now, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They don't apply human appearance values. "Oh, really? Or is my belly hanging over my belt or my boobs sagging?" You know, they don't give a shit. They really don't care about that. But they do know what we're thinking about them. Now, obviously, we the humans see the aliens. We don't care about their appearance. But we say, "Gee, I wonder what that kind of weapon is." They know we're thinking that. They know all of our intentions and all of our thoughts. We can't keep secrets from them. When some of our government leaders are horrified to discover that we simply can't even think about them without them knowing what we're thinking about them, then they don't want to meet with them anymore. Well, that's a human choice. It's a human
right.
choice to discount and dismiss our telepathic ability. And, okay, that's our choice. They respect our choices. So they pull back and they withdraw a little bit. They can't shut off their telepathic ability any more than we can shut off our autonomic system that causes our heart to beat or our lungs to breathe. They can't shut it off. They can't stop telepathic communication ability at the flip of the switch. "Okay, we'll just shut off half my brain so that we can be on equal footing with you." They would never do that. They can't. They're not gods. They're not omnipotent. So this has been a bit of an obstacle with meetings with alien extraterrestrials. Now, anybody that's aware of this, because of mine, that knows that everything that you're thinking about the aliens, they can understand, that's fine. Then you can meet with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they will use their devices to speak to you. It'll sound a little bit like a computer voice, and they'll speak back to you. And they'll tell you things, and you can ask them anything you want. And ask them to show you all sorts of things. And if they believe that telling you or showing you is not going to disturb your life, it's not going to distort the course of human events or your life, they'll be happy to tell you. They'll show us anything we want to see. But they're not going to show us how to build a weapon. And they know that certain technologies we would use as weapons, so they're not going to show that to us. Now, it's not because they know we can't create weapons. Gee, anybody that's watched a war movie knows we've got that figured out. But they're not going to provide a technology that would be used as a weapon because that would disturb the course of human events beyond what we develop and we do on our own, or natural events, cause to Earth. That's the prime directive. When the prime directive is lifted and we're approaching it, they will slowly and carefully show us certain things, but they will warn us in advance that there's this technology for this, there's this technology for this, but it can be used in this other way, and you might think that's bad. Do you really want to know that? And we'll have to sign on the dotted line, as it were, and say, yes, we understand that. But the human comparison would be, let's take a bunch of 12-year-old boys, very energetic 12-year-old boys. Are we going to hand them hunting rifles and boxes of ammunition? Probably not. Now, are those 12-year-old boys just going to leave the rifles alone and they're going to leave the ammunition aside and say, oh, they're dangerous when they're loaded, so we'll just practice working the bolt and we'll look through the sights, and but we won't really load them. Okay, that would be prudent. That would be safe. Are they really going to do that? Some. How about others? Are others going to load it and start shooting stuff? Yes. So now I'm giving a pretty stupid example, but that's the relationship. We will be shown certain technologies and we will be given certain knowledge once we demonstrate that we understand the potential implications and that enough of us collectively agree, okay, we accept the responsibility. Give you an example. One of the things that disappoints the aliens, humanity has always had a violence problem. Well, what we have now, communication advantage. So we are able to transmit images and news around the world instantly to billions of people. Well, one of the undercutting themes that the aliens talk about is, and my book discusses this to a certain degree, we have this false belief that somehow having access to rolling firearms causes crime. Well, that would make a lot of sense if guns loaded themselves, carried themselves around, found targets by themselves, aimed themselves, and pulled their own triggers. The problem is none of those things occur by an inanimate object. Humans do all those things. A lot of us have convinced ourselves that somehow, if we take away the inanimate objects, suddenly we purify the heart of the human. No, the two are independent of each other. Repeatedly, we have demonstrated that if we restrict item A, the evil intent just finds item B or item C. It's very difficult to buy a firearm in England. The British have restricted them. It's very hard to get. They're just not around. Well, that hasn't slowed the murder rate in London. In fact, the murder rate in London has surpassed New York. They just use knives and acid. Well, they've now banned knives. Well, what's going to happen? Are they going to ban hammers next? What are they going to ban next? Because the bad guys are not going to suddenly turn into good guys because you told them they can't carry a knife around. They're just going to find something else to carry. They're going to find a different way. The aliens understand these potential implications when they show us certain technology. So when we, enough of us collectively say, okay, we understand the potential risks. We'll say, okay, we're confident that we're not giving hunting rifles and boxes of ammunition to 12-year-old boys. Here you go. And they will be happy to show us many different things when they're confident that we're not distort our course of events materially. We'll be able to make our own decisions, but as long as we're not going to distort life and progress on Earth for ourselves in a material way, we'll get it. Now, that step is very far down the road. That comes long after we collectively decide to accept the presence and existence of aliens and actually build a relationship with them. All the devices and the doohickeys and all the gadgets and the widgets, that all comes later.
Love it.
Wow, that's so great. It's so nice to hear all this information.
Yes, definitely. Hopefully those that are listening and those who listen at a later time have gained some more clear insight and help themselves to be a little more comfortable with the topic and the possibility that maybe one day you'll be able to connect to one. And
yes.
Not be afraid of it. Embrace it. It's no different than meeting a new person on the street. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be.
I would love it. Okay, guys. We've got 45 minutes left of the show. Jan, would you like to read a couple of your poems before we roll on
yes.
to callers and they can ask
yes,
us some questions about aliens?
Definitely. And I just want to say that... I wrote all these yesterday, and I just started writing. You know, I didn't really know what was going to be said, and so it's kind of neat to hear what Patrick says because it just some of it, the main idea sort of goes along with what he kind of says, and that is really pleasing me. So and some of it's kind of silly, so just bear with me, but just try to. It's mainly the main message. But anyway, here's one. I have many, but I'll read about three or four of them. We're rolling with
before
the aliens.
Before you start, Jan,
huh?
Is this like yes. automatic writing?
Yes, it's automatic writing. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm kind of unfamiliar with these topics. That's why I ask.
Yeah. And
okay, go ahead.
So, our theme, We're Rolling with the Aliens, is the title of this one. We're rolling with the aliens. I beg your E.T. pardon. Did you catch my earthling drift? They chuckle at our humor with long fingers and big eyes, and they enjoy being under our sun. They want to always give us a supercharged alien energetic lift. Can you send me some of your superpowers? I want to have those advanced rays. They reply with, you are us in the future. We are together. Just enjoy your earthling days. So that's one. And then another one, thank you. Another one I put on Facebook yesterday is called Aliens Are Us. I spied a glimpse, a light, a sparkle, blue, silver, and gold. It was not a fuss. I kept seeing them by au contraire. I must declare, I finally realized that aliens are us. And then this one goes.
These are getting better and better. Keep going.
Good. This one goes, not at all a blur, ship dream. And this is a true story. This is about a dream I had. Once I had a dream that I was inside visiting a ship. It wasn't a place I had ever seen before. It was a different kind of place. I had to get a grip. All of this pink smoke was everywhere, inside and out. The messages were telepathic, coming into my mind. It left me with no doubt. It was an extraterrestrial dream of another kind. It was very real, or was I going out of my mind? I felt love and peace only. It was quite a cosmic trip. Never again have I ever dreamt of that special ship. One never knows when an alien visit may occur. How lucky we may be to have them. It was clear as day, not at all a blur. And then this one's called... aliens, do I know you? Energetic waves of otherworldly frequencies. Do I know you? What are these alien species coming toward me, towards us in dreams and in my meditation? Are they friends or foe? There is less and less separation. Please be peaceful. My fear is still great. I know of some stories. What is the real alien trait? It's all coming forth. We will meet them in our future. I have heard many aliens are helping our humanity. We have them as friends. That is for sure. And then I just wrote this. This was just a rewrite from a Christmas poem, and this will be my last one. It says, I wish upon a star, star so bright. I wish upon a star looking into the sky so far. I love to see the stars light up so brilliantly. They sparkle and glow a radiance that touch deep inside my heart instantly. I think they must know I am looking at them, even though I am so far away. I wonder if the star beings are doing the same thing on any given day. I wish upon that star I see so high up in the sky, looking down on us and wondering if we are real or a lie. I choose to think they know we are here too, as they must look at us, if only we all knew. We are star cousins, star bright, star sisters and brothers, stardust and starlight. I wish upon a star, star so bright, looking into the sky so far, I wonder where you are tonight. And that's it. That's that.
Those are fantastic. Hold on a minute. I have to clap.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Beautiful, Jan. Very good. That's very nice.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Okay. You guys ready to take couple callers?
Yes.
Fire away.
All right. Okay, we're going to go to 551 first. Hi, 551.
Hello.
You're on the air. Hi. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from?
This is Tasha calling from New Jersey.
Hi, Tasha from New Jersey. You got a question for us tonight?
Are you doing reading?
It's a little hard to hear you, hon.
Are we doing late readings?
Yes.
Yeah, we're doing readings, and it's mostly, we hope to have it on the topic of what we've been talking about, the aliens, what Patrick's been saying, and you can ask him questions. But, yeah, these are readings also. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think it's pretty cool about the aliens. I just never really – I just thought it was a myth. I never really looked into it.
Right.
Well, I'll step up and take a swing at this one. You would probably be a very good candidate to read the book I wrote, which was released in March of this year. It's not very expensive, $11 or $12, and you can get it online from either Barnes & Noble or Amazon. The name of the book, The Alien Handbook, The Guide to Extraterrestrials by Patrick Mahan. It's not long, it's not heavy, it's not like studying biochemistry or physics. But it will give you a lot of good background information so that you can decide after you've read it, is the whole subject of aliens really a myth, or is there some meat and potatoes in the story? And you'll enjoy the book one way or the other.
Okay. Okay. I will definitely take a look at it.
Awesome. Was there anything else you wanted to inquire about, Tasha?
On the topic, I was just listening about aliens.
Okay. Would you like to continue to listen?
Sure.
Okay. Definitely give us a call back and let us know if you pick up the book and what you were able to gain out of it, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Tasha.
Thanks, Tasha. Take care.
Okay. 503. Hi, 503. You're on the air. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from?
Is this me?
Yeah, you.
Oh,
what's your
hi,
first
I'm
name?
Jana. Hi, Jana.
Hi, Jana.
You know me. Jan knows
me. Yeah.
So anyway, Shannon, I had a reading with you about being on my journey, and you recommended a book to me called Journey of Soul.
Oh, Jana.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello. Okay.
Hi.
So I'm halfway through the book, and I'm just getting to the section on aliens. So I have a question. I know. It's just, you know, of course, all things the way they should be. So I was listening very closely to what Patrick was saying, and I had a couple questions. I think in the beginning of your program, you were talking about the aliens came and made, kind of helped create us as human beings.
They
created us. So are they considered, like, now I'm reading these journals about souls that and where they're going and the white light, and so are the aliens part of that? Are they're not God, or I mean, where do they fit in that whole energy field out there that our souls go when we die?
Well, many of us have been what we humans would call an alien extraterrestrial in another life. Bear in mind, we humans are strange, weird, funny-looking aliens to the aliens.
Okay, so we're all one big family. They don't. They're not the big creator.
Correct. So alien extraterrestrials that we would think are very different from us physically also have physical bodies. They also have a soul, and they die. Very different from us, obviously, and they die eventually. And their soul goes back home, what we call heaven or nirvana or many other names, just like we do.
The same place, we go.
Pardon me?
Yes.
I'm sorry, is it the same place we go?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm trying to put together, if they created us, how our souls are separate from them and we all end up in the same place. I'm a little confused. Does that make sense?
Okay, I'll explain to you briefly. It involves around free will of the soul. The soul is what we are in our essence, which is an energetic being without physical density in the third dimension. In other words, the body that we have.
Right.
The alien extraterrestrials that came to Earth did so with a specific purpose to mine gold. My book explains this in detail, so I won't go into that here. But they found the conditions of the Earth's atmosphere and life on the surface to be too difficult for them, and they did not have the equipment to manufacture the machinery to do the mining that needed to be done. So they decided to create physical beings to do this sort of work, and they did it because they have the ability to manipulate the DNA strand at the molecular level. We're not even within a million miles of being able to do this. In other words, they can create DNA characteristics at the molecular level. We think of gene splicing and hybridization and things like that. They can do it at a much closer level. So they created a being by borrowing bits and pieces of DNA, genes, chromosomes, and what have you, from existing species on Earth, because those species already had the characteristics to be able to work in the Earth environment, the atmosphere, the gases, the humidity, the temperature, the sunlight, and so forth. And then they used principally their own DNA, but they adapted the one to the other.
I don't want to take up too much time. So we all have the alien DNA in us, all of us, or just certain?
We are aliens. Human beings are not natural species to Earth. We have not evolved. Almost all life on Earth has evolved, and that's true.
Right.
So when you hear about evolution and the amoebas and the fish, that's all true. Most have evolved, seeded many, many millions, tens and hundreds of millions of years ago by aliens, but human beings have been here for about 100,000 years. We were created by alien extraterrestrial visitors.
Okay.
We are as alien to Earth as they are.
Ah, okay.
We did not evolve.
I think I got...
We don't belong.
I think I got it. Okay, I just was trying to tie the two together. Like, I'm thinking, okay, our souls are meet with their souls, but all of our souls are the same souls, same energy.
Yes. But I'll give you to complete your question. When a soul decides to incarnate, there's a long, detailed process. And
right.
The decision to become a soul that incarnated in one of these physical beings was not a decision that was taken lightly. And it was done in conjunction with the eventual guardian angels of that soul who decide to fill that role while that soul is incarnated, and also the guardian angels of the alien extraterrestrials that were doing the creating. The aliens, are not really aware of the planning, but they are more aware of the fact that there are guardian angels and guides. Most humans, if you approach them and say, hey, you have a guardian angel, they go, oh, that's not true, but we all do. So the souls, the pure, what we are in our essence, are pure energetic being.
Correct.
Is a part of this and is a piece of it.
Ah, okay, that helps me a lot.
When we die, we don't go to heaven. Heaven is everywhere. It's all around us.
Right. It's energy. It's all our energy. So,
thank you
so much for straightening that out for me. I was getting a little confused, but and thank you, Shannon, and thank you, Jan, for your poems.
It's
nice.
There's a lot to that.
Yeah, there is, and now I have another book to go get. So, see, I'm just zipping through these books. So, you'll be proud, Shannon, and I love your poems, Jan, and I hope to talk to you again soon. Thank you. Thanks for letting me. I'll keep listening.
Paul, anytime,
thank you,
Jana. Paul, anytime.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay,
thanks.
Jana. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. We are going to 904.
That's me.
Hi, 904.
Hello.
You're on the air. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from?
Woohoo! I'm Bruce. I live in Texas. And one thing, Jan has already done a reading for me last year, and she's a lot better than what you said. So, I do have a couple things. Hello, can you hear me?
Hey, Bruce.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Jan. I just told them, you did a reading for me last year, and you're a lot better than what they said in the introduction.
Oh, well. Are you kidding? Yeah. Shannon gave me such a good introduction. Oh, my goodness, she always does. But thank you, Bruce.
Well.
Bruce is very protective and he's so good to me. Thank you, Bruce. You're so sweet to say that.
Well, I used to tell everybody that Jan gave me the Texas Lotto numbers, but, you know, she made me stop doing that. But I did have a question, but it's not on the topic. But I do have a couple things to add real quick. I'm 65, and I go way back. I have quite a memory. And when I was a kid, the big event was the Betty and Barney Hill abduction. I think that was in Connecticut or Massachusetts. It was really the first UFO abduction, I guess that's the only word I can use right now, that really caught the public imagination. And they were friendly. In fact, all the early interactions with humans were friendly. There was an old farmer down the road from where I lived, and he claimed he had talked to people from outer space, and all they wanted was a bag of fertilizer. And everybody thought he was crazy till they went out and they found burn marks in his pasture, and he had to go to the hospital with radiation poisoning, which nobody could figure out. Yeah. So early on, all the communication that, you know, UFOs, aliens, whatever, all the communication they had with people were good. In fact, if you have listened to Travis Walton lately, I think he's a well-documented case of an abduction. He believes that what happened to him was he was injured when he walked into that ray or the light or whatever it was, and that they picked him up to save him, to help heal him. So all the early introductions, you know, all the times that ordinary people were meeting UFOs, they were friendly. They were conversational. They would, you know, in fact, in the Betty and Barney White abduction, they actually told her where they were from. I mean, they showed her on a map. Later on, they decided it was probably Alpha Centauri. I'm not sure what's out there. I'm not an astronomer. But the other thing is, I'm with you. I don't think that the people in our government want us to know what's going on. They do not want us to know that these people are not going to hurt us, or aliens, whatever you want to call them. They're basically people, I guess. And one of the things about technology and, you know, them not being able to do things for humans, that's right. But the problem is, if you go online and check with the Federation of American Scientists, you will find that 5,000 to 6,000 technologies, patents, have been sequestered by the federal government in the name of national security, and most of them have to do with energy production. So it's not so much that we need alien technology, it's that we have a government that anytime they find out that there's free energy, or at least inexpensive energy, they just shut it right down. They grab it as soon as they can. Tesla, who knows what he was working on? I mean, we know bad things happened to Tesla. But when Tesla died, do you know who they sent in to go through all his papers and find out if there was anything in there to save or anything that we should be worried about? Anybody know who the guy's name was? It was John Trump. President Trump's uncle was the guy who went through all Tesla's papers when he died.
Wow.
So, yeah. The government knows a lot more than they're telling us. I mean, think about it. If you could just shut down all the coal plants and all the oil production and all that, what would happen? A lot of people would go flat ass broke. And that's basically about all the heck I've got to say.
Thank you, Bruce.
Good
well,
share, Bruce. You also mentioned that you had a question.
Oh, my question, it really doesn't have anything to do with aliens. I was just wondering if I'd ever been on Atlantis. Truthfully, I never paid any attention to past lives and all that stuff. I always figured this life was the most important one. And fortunately for me, as I said, I'm 65, and when I was a young kid, I had figured out that what the church was teaching me didn't make a lick of sense. And I kind of believed in reincarnation, even though I didn't know what it was. And when I was about 13, I discovered Edgar Cayce. And, you know, after that, I was off and running. You know, I read extensively. That's all I do. I don't watch television or anything like that. So, you know, as I like to say, I don't have any psychic abilities. I don't talk to dead people or anything like that. Or I just read a lot of books about people that talk to dead people and are psychic.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I'll buy your book, dude. So
Patrick, you there?
Patrick, did you hear that?
I think we lost him. He's gone.
Oh, no.
Maybe the aliens got him.
Oh, dear. Let me see.
That's it. They just beamed him right out of there. I mean, he was there 1 minute, and he's probably on a spaceship now, out floating around Alpha Centauri or the Pleiadians.
There's Patrick.
Yay.
Okay. Anyhow, that's all I really got to say. I'm with you. I believe that the powers that be know there's plenty of aliens running around here. And as you said, the last thing they want is aliens coming down and talking to ordinary people. All the early connections, all the early people that, you know, met aliens, it was always friendly. You know, it wasn't until the last 30 years or so that they turned into, you know, the blue-eyed, purple people eaters or whatever the hell they are.
And that leads to the next big question, which is, why don't aliens want to talk to, quote-unquote, the ordinary people? And the aliens told me specifically in my book, and I explain it, why they don't contact the general population behind the backs of, quote-unquote, the government. Basically, we are the government. That's why. But that's another subject.
Yeah. But they, early on they were all friendly, and then there was a point at which, they turned evil. I'm old enough to remember that. I mean, even the early Betty and Barney Hill, they were fairly friendly to those people. They took them and brought them back a couple hours later. Everything was fine. So, anyhow, you folks have a good evening. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Stay here.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks for calling in, Bruce.
Oh, my pleasure.
Take care, Bruce.
All right. And let's see. Who is next? Is 706?
Oh, it's not 666? Keep going.
Hi, 706. You're on the air. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from? Hello?
Earth to 706, Earth to 706, come in.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and put 706 back to listening for the moment. We'll come back. All right. 860, okay. Got to look at my notes here. Hi, 860, you're on the air. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from?
Hi, this is Laura from Connecticut.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura from Connecticut. You got a question for us tonight?
Hi, I do have a question, and I did want to say it was very comforting to hear this radio show tonight, just because, like, I've always had a fear of aliens. Quite recently, I started learning about them through channeling Eric, and I felt better about them. So it is good to spread awareness, because sometimes when you don't really know about them and you kind of go off of what the media says, you can really get scared.
Very
true.
That's the objective. Well done. You did what you were supposed to do. You get an A.
Yeah. Thank you. So my question is, recently I have been applying for jobs, and the jobs that I've been applying to, I'm like very qualified for, I would say overly qualified for, and I just keep getting declined. I almost feel like my spirit guides are blocking it. I was just wondering if you guys could tap into that and kind of find out like why I would be getting declined.
Do you want the question answered by Jan or me or Shannon?
Whoever can pick up on it, I guess.
Patrick, if you're picking anything up for Laura, you can go ahead.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Step one, the positions for which you are applying where you're not getting a job, you're not supposed to. Keep applying anyway. It's part of the process. The reason you're going through this is so that you understand the mentality of the hiring manager, because you're going to be in a position to do this yourself. Mm-hmm. Qualifications should, but often do not, mean what we're told they mean.
Yeah.
When you're getting hired for a job, there is a very subtle but a very powerful personality component at work. This is coming from my guides and your guides. This isn't Patrick speaking. I want you to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But how does any one person, like you, Laura, from Connecticut, learn this?
Mm-hmm.
There's no textbook that you can study. It's going through the process.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, there's a lot of competition for certain positions. there's nothing any one person can do. In other words, the luck of the draw, the haphazard or random outcome, is a component. It is a factor in it also. But for you, your spiritual purpose in this is to understand what the experience is like and what qualifications mean against the greater picture. Keep
I
up
totally
with your guides. Keep going. And when the right opportunity comes along, the key will slide right into the slot, and it will seem so easy and natural when it happens. You'll wonder, why the heck did I go through all that crap?
Yeah.
Now you know why you're going through the crap. Good luck.
Yeah, I resonate with that a lot.
But your guide's telling me this.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I'm just going to jump in real fast.
Uh-huh.
Just real quickly on just saying exactly what Patrick said. The feeling I was getting also brought up something about me when I was dancing and I was having a hard time. I went to all these auditions, and I was certainly qualified. I'd already had years and years of training and performing experience, and I just wasn't getting the jobs. And I was going, went to so many, just tons and tons and tons of auditions. And finally, like he said, the one that I was supposed to get came through. And it fit like a glove, and it was easy. And I have lifelong friends from that show still today, many, many years later. I agree with him wholeheartedly. It will happen, and you're just supposed to go through this process right now.
Thanks.
And it will come through.
Yeah, because I'm a makeup artist, and I've been applying, and it's like a lot of the jobs, it's like makeup artistry and also sales, and I'm very qualified. I have 7 years experience, and I show them my resume. I have a professional website, and it's like, why? Like, and I'm just thinking, I'm so qualified for this job. Like, who are they even hiring, though? Like, what the heck? Like, what?
Yeah.
When you're in a position to start hiring people, remember everything that you're learning.
Yeah, I have a feeling, and I've actually been told this a lot by psychics, that I will be in a position one day where I am having some sort of a business or something like that. So that does make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I
can say. Shannon over here, Laura.
Hi.
And what I heard was management, start applying for management positions.
Yeah. Another
as well,
thing,
because
like,
there's
I'm
a lot
also...
of jobs that you're looking at and going, I don't quite meet all the qualifications, but your experience and background is a plus over some of what they're listing. And to go along with what Patrick said and Jan shared with you, that was the messages I was hearing while they were talking, was to start, keep going for what you're looking at, but also start expanding it out into the positions that are moving into levels of management. Because all the skills are there and the base is ready to break for you. So all valuable tools and great information shared with you tonight.
One of the things that I was thinking that my spirit guides might be doing is like the positions that I've been applying to, they're a little bit like below what I would apply for, just because I'm a little bit nervous to get back out there. So I almost guys are like, you're like kind of above that job and you should be reaching higher, like maybe standard wise. I didn't know if maybe that was the case too.
Ding, 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 ding. I was seeing the bell ringing.
Laura, the fact that you're thinking it means it is being told to you by your guides.
Yeah, I really need to listen to them more.
Maybe you don't recognize that, but that's what's going on.
Yeah, that's true. Well, thank you guys so much for clarifying that. What was that?
anytime anybody is going through a significant life event or process, getting married, moving, buying a house, things like that, looking for a job, changing a career, picking a school, what have you, our guardian angels and guides are along every step of the way. So when we get hunches, feelings, or I'm thinking, look, because it's being given to you.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in tonight, Laura. Huh?
Thanks for clarifying everything. I really appreciate it.
Thanks
You're
for calling,
welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
Bye, Laura. Good luck.
Bye.
All right. We've got time to do one more caller, and then we'll do our wrap-up part, okay? 917. Hi, 917. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just listening, but if you want to talk about a question, I was wondering what you see for Matthew and I. Matthew.
Can we get your first name and where you're calling from?
Yes. My first name is Nisa, calling from New York.
Okay.
What's your question,
some noise?
What's your question about Matthew, and what is Matthew to you? Hello?
Lisa, you still with us?
Yes, what did you say?
What is your question about Matthew, and what is Matthew to you?
Oh. Do you see us together?
Together
in relationship?
Yes.
As a couple.
Yeah.
The reason I'm pressing you on questions is not because I need them. The better your question, the better the information. Your guardian angel are not going to put themselves into the middle of your life unless you invite them in. That's not their role. So the better your question, the better your answer. That's how you authorize the information. As soon as you started asking about math, I knew the answer immediately. But without asking a good question, the answer is going to hit a cloud. You would prefer that the answer hit a platform. So asking a good question creates a good target. And you can answer the question better. Okay, so you want to know if Matthew are going to become a couple?
Yes.
What I'm getting is, yes, you will, briefly, but it will be a up and down sort of thing, and eventually it will fizzle out. In other words, it's not going to become, the way things stand now, it's not going to become a permanent relationship for the duration. But you will become a couple for a certain period of time, while there's an oscillation, an up and down, and an up and down, and it will fizzle out.
Okay, up and down with his life, you said?
The relationship between the two of you will be up and down.
Okay.
Not that his life will be up and down, or that your life will be up and down. The relationship the two of you choose to form.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Jan, Shannon, jump in, please.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Hi. Yeah, what I was being told by your guides was that there is value in what becomes between the two of you, for both of you, for growth purposes. So enjoy the time. Allow it to be what it needs to be without limitations and restrictions of expectations. and you will both gain a lot from the experience and the relationship that's going to help you down the road, help both of you down the road when you meet your final partners.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling in, and definitely give us a call back another time.
Yes, that will be better. There's a lot of background noise here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very hard to hear you with the beep, beep,
it's
beep.
It's really bad. It's really bad. I'm in a market, and there's a lot of now noise. Sorry about that. Bye.
That's okay.
All right.
I heard it was a gateway relationship for you, and it will be a gateway time for you. So it'll be good to do that. That's what I hear for you, Lisa, and that's all I get. I couldn't concentrate too well with all the noise. Sorry.
Now, do you see a time frame for us when we're going to be back together?
What I'm getting is that time frame is completely up to you and Matthew to decide. You have the option.
Mm-hmm.
It's not set in a specific calendar period. The two of you can make it sooner and make it later, and that's fine.
Sorry, I didn't get the beginning of that.
It is not set in a specific calendar period.
Okay.
The two of you can choose to do it sooner or later, and it will not make a material difference.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome, Lisa. Give us a call back another time, okay? All right, guys. Yeah. All right. We are down at less than 3 minutes, so we're going to go ahead and start wrapping up our show for this week. And it's been a fabulous topic discussion tonight. I really hope the listeners have enjoyed Rolling with Aliens because it's fascinating. So, Patrick, would you like to go ahead and share with our listeners the different ways that they can contact you as well as your book title again?
The title of the book, The Alien Handbook, A Guide to Extraterrestrials, Ozark Mountain Publishing, and anybody that wants to find it, Amazon or Barnes & Noble. To contact me, go to my website, and there's a contact page. The website address is very simple, theamendment.net. Think of the word amendment like an amendment to a constitution. theamendment.net. It's kind of like my hobby. It's probably a good way to describe it. I put all sorts of channeling sessions there and reader questions and subjects I think of, etc. And there's a contact page, and that's how I can be found.
Awesome. Wonderful. I hope people reach out and start scoping that out and get themselves a little more informed. And
definitely.
Jan, would you like to go ahead and share your contact information, and then I'll wrap us up with the other shows and information for everybody?
Okay, great. Sure, and by the way, I just wanted to say that Patrick's website is a sight to behold. I recommend everyone to check it out. There is so much information on there, and he has so many amazing readings about so many different subjects. It's just a plethora of information, and it's a beautiful, interesting place to go. So I just wanted to say that. And my website is
I paid you to say that.
No way. But I would say it for sure anytime. My website is www.wefindourway.com, and I'm on Facebook, and Jan Drake Bakke is my homepage on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter too. And so I write a lot of poems, and I share them on my sites also. Yep.
Awesome. It was a fabulous show tonight. And so, to wrap it up, I'm your host, Shannon Johnson. You can find me on Facebook at Shannon Johnson, Metaphysical Facilitator / Medium, as well as my website, which I usually have posted on our Into the Light links, but I won't bore us with that tonight. But I would like to remind everybody that the Sacred Embers channel on Blog Talk does 3 shows every week. On Wednesday night is Divine Connections with Sue Delamonte, Lynn Bleasdale, and Jody Higgins. Thursday night, we've got Angel Antics with DC Love and Eileen Powers. And Friday night is Enter the Light with myself, Jan Drake-Bakke, and Ryan Adragna. And tonight was our special guest, Patrick DeHaan. Highly recommend you check out his material and pick up a copy of his book, Release the Fear of Aliens, and Let's Do a Little Bit More Embracing, guys. Join us next week, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. All of our shows are at the same time every week. And we'll see you next Friday. Happy Friday and have an awesome weekend, guys. Thank you to my co-host. Awesome time, guys. Loved the conversation tonight.
I was happy to
Thank
be on.
You, Thank you, Shannon.
I hope you'll join us again, Patrick, at another time, and we can extend this conversation a little more.
Anytime you want me.
Awesome. And with that, we will say good night. Happy weekend. See you next week, same time.
Good night.
Bye. Good night,
Bye-bye.
Guys.
Thanks, Shannon. Thanks, Patrick.
You're welcome. It was a